everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live at 97.1 FM Talk. Before we do news with Gene, we've got to remind you that we're going to be out at the Queen Mary, so come on out on Halloween. Look at that. Be out there on Halloween. That's October 31st for people out there that are new to Halloween. October 31st, and we'll be at the Queen Mary, which is located in Long Beach. Again, if you just arrived into town. And they do a big shipwreck there where they have tons of mazes. It's really a great place to spend the evening. So Halloween, you don't have to drive around worried about getting pulled over by these cops and get ticketed. Just come on out there and do a live broadcast. So Halloween, queenmaryshipwreck.com is how you get your tickets. All right, it's a little after 9 o'clock, about 5 minutes after 9 o'clock. And so we're going to do news with Gina Grett, everybody. Look at that.
I've never
now,
seen
from the 97.1 newsroom.
And the eyes on the side of Gina's head.
Here's Gina Grett with the news.
Gina.
Jesus Christ.
Did not
really
see that coming.
To that, huh?
Yeah,
oh,
boom, I don't. Boom. I don't recall doing that. I apologize
right.
formally.
All right, and joining us before I do this, joining us for the news, everybody.
Special guest.
Yeah, special guest. Dr. Reef is with us, man.
Yeah.
Look at you.
Thanks for having
All
me.
All right.
It's good to be back.
A world-renowned psychiatrist, right? You can write prescriptions for people.
Yeah, that's
all
about
we care
it.
About. Yeah,
that's all anybody cares.
Man.
That's like my whole MO. That's my whole identity.
Hey, listen, that's the reason to go to a doctor. It's a white pad out. You know, you made it successfully through the checkup.
I know, right? That's how I met Gina, actually.
Yeah, actually, it's true.
Is that right?
Yeah. I saw him with that sexy prescription pad across the room,
boy.
And I was all over that.
Oh, man, look at that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's always it's always the time where you BS the doctor and the doctor knows you're BSing them. Like when you go to one of these small little urgent care places, it's just a distributorship for Vicodin is what it is.
Right.
You know?
And it's kind of a game too.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
They'll come in and I know they want Vicodin and I'm like, you know, I'm not going to give it to you, but I'll play along just to hear your story and listen to the cat that ate it, you know, and is feeling no pain right now.
Right,
and, you know,
exactly.
Hey, I know a little thing or two about a thing or two. I have friends in the nursing industry. Is that what we would call med seeking?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, let's
very
go over
much.
Some terms. There's med seeking. The other big one is doctor shopping.
Ooh.
Doctor shopping's
that's,
good too.
You keep looking for different doctors till you get what you want.
Yeah, but when you go into this little, I go to the one. There's an urgent care out in the valley I go to when I don't want to spend money on the emergency room. I like f up my neck or something, and he'll take an X-ray and he'll say, you know, I'm going to give you some painkillers and some muscle relaxers. And I said, I'm good on the muscle relaxers. You know, I've got the perk. I mean, not the, what is it? The muscle relaxer
like
do
the,
I take.
Not Demerol.
No,
probably
it's not
either
the
Soma's Flex.
Soma, yeah,
or,
Soma's, I think, yeah. And I don't take many Somas. I maybe take like 3 or 4 a year because they knock me out. And if my neck gets really bad, I take a Soma.
Mm-hmm.
I said, but I really, it's in a lot, I'm in a lot of pain. And the guy said, all right, I'll give you a prescription for Vicodin, but I'm only going to give you 5. I said, I don't care how many you give me. I mean, if you give me 5, but if I'm in pain, I'm coming back tomorrow. He's like, all right, I'll give you like 20. Or...
You so called his bluff.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, well, listen, if I'm in pain, because I have a terrible, terrible neck and a bad back, and I do a lot of yard work myself, and I constantly, you know, I won't do any physical activity for 2 years, and then I'll decide to cut down trees and clean the pool and you know, cut the lawn and do all kinds of stuff I never do. And I cut a tree down the other day, and I really screwed my neck up, you know? And I was out of Vicodin, so I went to, you know, get some from the local store.
So you're like part-time radio host, part-time lumberjack? Like,
well,
what's your
can you tell by the shirt?
Yeah, I was going to say, he's wearing a lumberjack shirt right
much.
Now.
Thank you very much. But I like to do things around my house because I'm too cheap to pay anybody, you know? So I'll cut trees down. I do the lawn. You know, I get the power washer out there. I'm constantly working on the yard. It looks like hell, but it's my hell. You know, I'm working on it.
Well, that's good.
All right, Gino. So what else is going on with the news there, baby?
Well, Barack Obama picked up a key endorsement yesterday from former Bush administration Secretary of State, retired General Colin Powell, who made the announcement on NBC's Meet the Press, which you two obviously are familiar with. Sure. He praised Obama's ability to inspire, his choice in picking Joe Biden for a vice president, and for running an inclusive campaign crossing racial, ethnic, and generational lines. And we have some more of Mr. Powell on that.
Here we go. Colin Powell, everybody.
On the Obama side, I watched Mr. Obama, and I watched him during this 7-week period, and he displayed a steady...
So did everybody.
Yeah.
Mr. Powell. Or I guess it would be Colonel?
General.
General?
Yeah.
Four-star General Powell?
I think so.
Yeah, that's what he is. But everybody's watched him, right?
Yeah.
You watch him.
I
Randy, you watch him? You watch him? Doc,
yeah.
On the Obama side, I watched Mr. Obama, and I watched him during this seven-week period, and he displayed a steadiness, an intellectual curiosity, a depth of knowledge, and an approach to looking at problems like this and picking a vice president that I think is ready to be president on day one, and also in not just jumping in and changing every day, but showing intellectual vigor. I think that he has a definitive way of doing business that would serve us well.
There you go. I totally respect Colin Powell.
Yeah.
Absolutely do. My father was in Washington, D.C. at one of those banquets where all the press people get together, you know, Democrats and Republicans,
right,
whatever. And my dad happened to be there that weekend, was invited to it. And Colin Powell had asked somebody if he could sit at my dad's table.
Oh, my God.
And sat next to him and talked to him, wow, the entire night. He said he was a big fan of the Carol Burnett Show. He grew up on McHale's Navy, and he sat there and talked to him. And he says the one person I wanted to meet in show business was your dad. Isn't that one?
That's amazing. That's great. Yeah. By the end of the night, was your dad like, enough with the McHale's Navy questions, Bubba?
No, at the end of the night, my dad's walking out and asked my stepmother, he goes, who was that guy? No, he knew he was. But he really is an outstanding guy.
So would you have been cool no matter who he endorsed?
Yeah. He's one of those guys that goes beyond politics. I mean, that guy's just really a cool dude.
Wow.
Did you see the movie W?
No, I have not seen that.
I saw it over the weekend. Colin Powell is like the only person that's saying anything oppositional to Bush, and like,
is that right?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, they make him look good in that movie.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I wonder if Harry Belafonte is sorry that he called him a house Negro. Remember that?
Yeah.
What an a-hole. I mean, the guy who wrote, you know, he's known for the Banana Boat song, right? They
Harry
like
Bell,
come
yeah.
and they want to yeah, go. When he dies, that's the first thing you'll hear on KNX.
Yeah.
You know, come Mr. Bunny, I can tell you my bananas.
Yeah.
And he calls this guy house N-word.
Yeah.
Cool guy. All right. What else going on in the news?
What was his daughter Sherry famous for? Because all I remember her is from like yogurt commercials. Sherry Belafonte.
Sherry Belafonte? I don't know.
Reef, any help here?
Wasn't she the chick with the sock puppet?
No, that was...
Isn't that Sherry?
Sherry Lewis and Lamb Chop.
No. Jesus Christ.
Anyway.
I get them mixed up.
The Tampa Bay Rays left no doubt that they were World Series worthy after the young Rays completed a run to their first pennant, holding off the defending champion Boston Red Sox 3-1. And here's a clip from the final moments of the Rays-Red Sox game.
Here we go.
Jed Lowry, the final hope for Boston in the night. Ground ball to second. Iwamura's got it. Rays are going to the World Series.
Wow, look at that.
Yeah.
I can't wait for that rivalry, that old Philly-Tampa Bay rivalry.
Yeah, I know, right?
In baseball.
You know, my business definitely went up when the Red Sox lost.
A
lot of depressed Red Sox fans.
Yeah, absolutely. They really live and die with that team. Yeah,
between the Cubs and the Red Sox, you know, yeah, there's a lot of business.
That's really weird about Boston fans that, you know, a couple of guys that root for Boston, even when they win the World Series, they're depressed.
Yeah.
They're like, they want more.
It's not good enough.
Yeah.
They want blood.
They want more than just the World Series. All right, what else is going on in the news there, Gina?
Well, in health news, a Swedish study finds that drinking a lot of coffee reduces the size of many women's breasts.
Is that right?
Yes.
Wow.
Swedish oncologist Helena Jernström said that the effect is the result of a gene that about half of women possess. Jernström became interested in the subject because of research that has shown that large-breasted women are more likely to be diagnosed with cancer.
Mm-mm.
But downing at least 3 cups of coffee a day can reduce the risk, Tim.
It shrinks your boobs if you have 3 cups of coffee a day?
That's what Helena Jernström said.
You must have never even had a piece of coffee
cake. That's what I'm saying.
Wow.
Yeah, so she decided to look for a correlation directly between drinking coffee and breast size, and guess what? She found one.
So how soon and how much do they shrink? I guess I should ask Dr. Reeve.
Yeah, this is really a Dr. Reeve question.
Well,
you think it's the caffeine? What is it?
Yeah, I'm sure it's the caffeine, but then you're gonna get all these women with small boobs who are really irritable, have lots of headaches, and are like really bummed out.
Because they're off coffee?
Yeah, and are like losing their minds. That's the problem.
So do you think it would be, I don't really ingest caffeine, and I'm not really a caffeine person. Do you think it'd be worth it to measure my bust now and measure it like once a month after just pile in on the coffee and see what happens.
Like, if you want to conduct your own little research experiment, I don't think any of us will have a problem with that. Yeah,
bring the tape measure in, Randy.
I'll have dark circles under my eyes and like develop like a nervous tic. But it
does it happen that quickly?
No. I mean, I don't. Yeah, it's a study that was published, but I don't put a ton of credence into that. Yeah.
But isn't it probably the study? I mean, who did the study? I mean, is it probably, you know,
Helena Jernstrom?
Yeah, but maybe what is she?
Swedish oncologist.
Sell the decaffeinated chocolate bars or something. I don't know what she does.
Oh, and speaking of that, if I can just tell Randy something real quick. Hey, Randy, just FYI, speaking of chocolate, your bacon chocolate is still in the fridge.
All right.
I saw it in there. No one's touched it.
Where'd you get that?
Teresa and I found it at the Alcove. Yeah. It's a chocolate bar with real smoked bacon in it. Bacon bits.
You know, if that's the way you went out, that's all they'd be talking about, the funeral. And they'd have no sympathy for you. Like, how did he die? Was he hit by a bus trying to save a child?
No.
Was he skiing and somebody was about to die, so he jumped off the chairlift to help him?
No.
How did he die?
Have you heard of bacon chocolate?
Oh, that's right, yeah. Oh, he had bacon chocolate.
Yeah.
Died on the toilet.
Coroner's like OD'd on chocolate bacon bits. Yeah.
I died eating what I love to eat.
Yeah.
He died doing what he loved. Yeah.
How does that combo? I mean, is that like the Reese's? You know, a guy with a tray full of peanut butter?
You got chocolate in my peanut butter. You got peanut butter in my chocolate.
You got bacon in my chocolate. All right. Bacon and chocolate bars.
It's really good. You actually enjoyed
it, didn't you?
It's so good.
It's so good.
I forgot it here on Friday night, so I couldn't experience it when I was stoned this weekend, but I'm going to take that home tonight and really enjoy it.
Oh, did you say he was stoned the whole weekend?
Yeah.
I think he was stoned the whole weekend, right?
The entire weekend.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know what, Randy, and maybe we'll talk about this during the when you're here for the next hour and a half or so, but Randy had complained to the station that he's working the morning shift and the night shift, and he can't get any sleep because he can't sleep during the day and he doesn't have enough hours at night to sleep. And it has nothing to do with the fact that when he goes home, he gets loaded on marijuana till he can't see every night. And he gets high, I believe, every day as well, right?
Every day, sometimes twice a day.
He goes home and you go home from the Corolla show and get high?
Now I do that now, yeah.
Yeah, and then he sobers up, he comes to work, and then he gets high when he goes home, and he goes, I can't sleep.
Well, the thing is now...
You're too busy getting high to sleep.
Well, the thing is now I bought hash, and I mix that in with my weed, and that's so strong it will put me to sleep.
Oh.
And the last image I have of Randy, really, is a couple months ago, pumping iron, running on that cardio machine like there was no tomorrow. I don't know where that guy went.
Times have changed.
Yeah, bacon chocolate did him in. But, that... You might have a gateway situation here when you go from marijuana to hash so quickly.
But they sell it.
He's only been smoking pot for 6 months.
Oh.
He had never touched this stuff before.
Is it making sense now, Dr. Lee?
Now it's making sense.
He's in his apprentice year. You know, like when you're a jockey at Santa Anita, the first year you ride out there, they give you 5 pounds allowance.
Right.
So you ride 5 pounds lighter than all the other jocks for your first year. That's how they do it with guys who are a marijuana. You know, he's in his apprentice, his rookie year, so he's investigating everything. But I think he's gone too quickly from smoking weed occasionally to getting a high twice a day and smoking hash.
Yeah, well, he's got marijuana dependence down to a science now, right? So he's all good there.
But
now
I think he's going to have to graduate.
Now he's working his way up to hash.
Yeah. And then what's next? Cocaine?
No, next is my office, probably, right?
He'll come in and say,
I'll see you on Monday.
Yeah, I'll give you my card, Randy.
A little bump.
Tim, did you know that there are drugs you can melt in a spoon? And I got nothing but spoons.
Yeah, but he's going to try to melt them in a plastic spoon.
Yeah.
That doesn't work?
Yeah, it's going to be attached
messy
to his lip.
Messy crack, Ryan.
All right, what else is going on in the news there, Gino?
Well, finally, just because the election is drawing to a close does not mean that the candidates can't have a little fun.
Right.
Governor Sarah Palin lived up to this by making a cameo on Saturday Night Live this weekend as she spoofed Tina Fey for spoofing her. In this clip, guest star Alec Baldwin mistakes Palin for the comedian Tina Fey and begs SNL creator Lorne Michaels not to let her go on.
Oh, boy. All right, here we go.
Hey, Lorne. Hey, Tina. Lauren, I need to talk to you. You can't let Tina go out there with that woman. She goes against everything we stand for. I mean, good Lord, Lauren. They call her, what's that name they call her? Cara, what do they call her again, Tina?
That'd be Caribou Barbie.
Caribou Barbie. Thank you, Tina. I mean, this is the most important election in our nation's history, and you want her, our Tina, to go out there and stand there with that horrible woman? What do you have to say for yourself?
Alec, this is Governor Palin.
Hi there.
I see. Forgive me, but I feel I must say this. You are way hotter in person.
Look at that. The highest ratings that show has gotten in 14 years.
Yeah.
14 years.
That's
that goes back
scary.
To John Belushi, right?
No.
I don't know.
14.
Chris Farley did.
Chris Farley?
Yeah,
that's
right.
Is that right?
Yeah.
The highest rating since Chris Farley.
Adam Sandler.
Jesus
heyday.
Christ,
that show that they were talking about, the highest ratings in 14 years, was when Nancy Kerrigan was on after she got hit by Tonya Harding.
Ah, all right. Yeah. Excellent.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, that is a huge deal.
Yeah.
And when McCain was on Letterman, Letterman got his best rating since 2005.
Yeah.
So. Who knows? Hey. Maybe they'll pull it up. All right. Anything else going on in the news there, Gina?
That's what's going on today.
All right. The news with Gina Grad, everybody. Look at that.
Gina.
The news with Gina Grad.
Have you seen anything more motherly than her nipples make me want to drink her?
Hey, is this song about a dog?
Give us 8.5 minutes and we'll fill it with words.
Oh, boy. Thank God you cleared that up. All right. Gina is staying with us. Dr. Reef is with us. And Dr. Reef, give us a little background for people that don't know you by name or, you know, doesn't ring a bell.
Well, I'm a medical doctor, psychiatrist, addiction specialist,
right.
Relationship therapist. So
look
basically, I'm a sex, drugs, and relationships doctor living in L.A. with really good job security.
God.
Excellent.
Why aren't we married?
Yeah. Wow, that's a little forward, huh?
No. I mean, it's so good to see you.
Sex, drugs, and relationships.
I wouldn't know if I should diagnose you or...
That's true.
Yeah,
that's true.
No, she's a handful.
Yeah, it was tough today. I almost didn't make it here because I was checking my oil.
That's so dirty, and I resent that.
Yeah, and that is... now, what do you think about that? Is laziness, and I'm not talking about just Gina here, but some of our callers in the first hour, is that a medical condition? Laziness?
Laziness.
Yeah.
Well, it depends. If you're Randy and you're smoking pot twice a day,
right.
then I think you have a reason for it, right?
Right.
No, but it's some people are just not motivated. That's just the way they are. And
but why is that? Is it low testosterone?
Are you asking, is there a medical reason for laziness?
Yeah, because I'm lazy.
Is that what you're asking
me? Yeah, because I'm a lazy guy, but I didn't used to be lazy. And now, like, if somebody calls me up and says, hey, you want to go to a Dodger game? And it's a playoff game. I'm like... Nah, but back in, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, I'd have killed to go to that game.
Okay, here's something interesting. I read this study. It's an evolutionary psychology study where they look at human beings and compare them, right, to animals. And animals have a certain trajectory of when they do the most work.
Right.
And they're doing that work because they're trying to attract a mate. Right?
Oh, I see.
So for us, it's kind of like, especially as guys, we're hitting it hard in our 20s and 30s because we're trying to attract somebody.
Right.
And then if we actually did attract somebody,
so long.
We shut down.
Right.
It's like done.
Right.
You're on the couch watching the Dodgers. That's it.
There's a lot to look forward to.
And how do you fix that?
Well,
divorce?
Divorce is one way because then you start looking again. But that's usually not a good motivation.
I'm done looking. By the way,
are you done looking?
I am going to be with Jennifer the rest of my life. And if she does leave me, God, I will not blame her at all. If she does because I couldn't imagine being married to myself either. But if she does leave me, I ain't going to date anybody because I'm not going to tell somebody. I'm not going to sit across, at the Carlos and Charlie's and tell somebody about my life story.
Yeah, it's crazy the things that guys do for women. I mean, we'll go to different time zones. We'll drop people.
Continents.
I mean, we'll do crazy, crazy stuff. If we can find a way to be motivated outside of just women.
Right.
Then we have the magic thing. And some guys can do that. Some guys are motivated by work. Some guys are motivated by whatever. But,
Right. Like, for instance, I had a friend of mine who went to New York. He's a really motivated guy. Loves sex. I almost said the P word. But he loves sex, right? And he flew to New York to hang out with this chick who he knew before. They went to the same college together. And they haven't seen each other since college. They talk on the phone every once in a while, email one another. And he went to see her in New York. He was going to spend, 4 or 5 days with her. It was all like hot and heavy and emails and stuff. But this is before you could send like pictures. This is like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
So he gets to her place and she used to be like a beautiful, like 120 pounds. She's like 235 pounds. And he couldn't believe it. He wasted all this money going there. And he said to her, you should have told me that. I mean, it's like, you should lay that on somebody that you weighed. You weigh 125 or 110 pounds more than you used to. And she got all indignant, like, oh, you just want me for my body. You don't, appreciate me for who I am. He's like, yeah, but you're 230 pounds. I mean, you weigh as much as an NFL football player. You know? I can get this in L.A. I don't have to fly across, you know, country to get this.
More of her to love.
Yeah. You can get this downtown.
That's a tough one.
In the valley.
In the valley. In Van Nuys. Yeah. That's a tough one. Because if you're like, what are you going to say? Hey, baby, yeah, I haven't seen you in a long time. I'm really into you. Do you weigh twice your weight that you used to? I mean, what are you going to say?
Just out of curiosity, are you basically the way I remember you? Or what's changed, baby? Yeah. What, are you losing arm?
You're redhead.
Yeah.
230 pounds. What are you? Give me something, you know?
I think they start sniffing around, though. I mean, they know that you're asking, how fat are you? Yeah. I don't know what you do. Maybe you get a guy, you know, in the neighborhood to, you know, take a look at her or something. I don't know. All right. Dr. Reif is with us. Also, Gina Grant. If you have a question for Dr. Reif, he is a specialist in sex, drugs, and relationships. If you're a male or female on drugs or in a relationship or not in a relationship, it covers most of the audience.
Yeah.
Then call us here. You got a problem. 520-9710 and 888-520-9710. It is Dr. Reif, Gina Grad, and myself, Tim Conway Jr., live on 97.1 FM Talk. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live at 97.1 FM Talk. Gina Grant is with us. Also, Dr. Reif. And if he's a specialist, man, it comes to sex, drugs, and relationships. He's just telling us a story off the air that he's at a party, and a guy comes up to him and goes, "Dude, I know you're a specialist in all the in drugs. I just did coke for the first time, flipping out. What's going on with me?" And you got to answer that guy, right?
Yeah, it was like,
do you feel like you have to or you want to?
Well, it's kind of like the Good Samaritan thing. Like, this guy's like, "Dude, you're a drug specialist? No way, man. Dude, I just did coke. What's happening right now? Tell me right now, what's happening?"
But don't you feel like the devil? Like, that's the worst time to tell someone what's happening to them is right after they did, like, an eight ball.
What do you tell him?
Yeah. Well, like, if he wants to know about his, you know, vasoconstricting of his blood vessels and the extra pressure on his heart and, you know, all the other stuff that goes along with it and all the neurotransmitters action that's happening, I'll tell him. I don't care. But the funny thing is,
how long does a hit of cocaine last a typical person?
It's pretty quick.
About an hour.
The half-life. Yeah.
Huh?
Let's ask the other expert here, Gina Grant. No, it's the thing about it, though, is it's in and out, but the effect of the drug. Like, I say when somebody does coke, it's like they're injecting ADHD into their brain. Attention deficit disorder, like, immediately. Because they'll talk about nonstop about all sorts of stuff, but it has no meaning whatsoever. It's like random gibberish stuff about anything.
Now, I've never done cocaine, but I understand that when you do it, you'll talk to people who you normally would never talk to.
Yeah.
You know, you'll sit down and talk to a guy on a bus for 2 hours.
Yeah.
Which is sort of odd. And then you're like, and also they have an ability to retain a lot of the conversation as well. Is that true?
The retained part, not really. No, it's not like like the next day they're going to be like, "God, I had this great conversation about War and Peace the other day. It was insane."
It's probably quite the opposite, actually.
Yeah, it's probably
opposite. Oh, I thought they pick up on like a lot of details. Like they'll say to somebody like, "You know, that shirt is unbelievable. You know those buttons on that shirt, they'll get real detailed when you're on coke."
They can have vivid, detail-oriented conversation, but it's gone 5 minutes after they say it. That's the thing. There was a girl there who was talking about the election and was talking about McCain's policies versus Obama's. And she made no sense whatsoever. She had no clue what was going on.
No, she wasn't high, Reef. She was just a girl.
Was it Teresa Strasser?
Yeah.
All right. John in Huntington Beach on 97.1 FM Talk. Dr. Reif is with us. How are you?
Good. I'm a home caretaker of my elderly parents.
Good for you.
And to get through it, so far I'm on lorazepam, and the doctor wants me to go on Zoloft. And I'm kind of afraid to do it, because I've heard from a few people that sometimes it makes you...
kill your parents?
No. go down deeper in depression. And I can't. There's no way I can handle that.
Oh.
Is my fear justified? I don't know a lot about Zoloft.
That's a good question.
All right, Zoloft 101.
Yeah.
So Zoloft is an antidepressant. It's part of the selective serotonin reuptake inhibitor group. Right. If you say it sounds good at parties, Tim.
It sounds great. Yeah.
But it's a class of antidepressants. It's safe. It's definitely in a safer class than some of the old school antidepressants are.
Right. Is this if you're going like antidepressants 101, would you start here?
Yeah, Zoloft is a good place to start. I mean, right. there's Lexapro, there's the Prozac, Paxil, Cymbalta, Zoloft. I
but mean, there, isn't Prozac like the dinosaur now of antidepressants?
I'll tell you what, I think Prozac is a very good antidepressant
wow.
for certain people, like for people that have ADHD that are yeah. also depressed. It's a good one. The thing is, a lot of it comes down to marketing. You know, if there's not a patent on the medication, then you're not going to see commercials out. Mm-hmm. Like if there's a patent out and pharmaceutical companies are making a lot of money, they're going to have lots of cool commercials and little
like
Pac-Mans and little
yeah.
this
yeah.
and that. But if it's an old school drug, yeah. but it still works really well, you're not going to see any commercials. Nobody's going to talk about it because right. it's generic.
Now, if I'm having a rough day when I'm on the Zoloft, can I still take the lorazepam?
Yeah, I mean, you should talk to your doctor about it, but the lorazepam's going to be more...
Hey, John, was that your dad going down?
I won't even answer that.
All right, sorry, man. I heard a sound there. I thought you... Oh, Jesus.
Bummer.
All right, so I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, so the lorazepam, the Ativan, is going to be more for anxiety, and then the Zoloft can be used for anxiety and for depression. But it's a good drug. You just need to talk to your doctor about it. They can go over the side effects with you. The side effects generally, sometimes people get a little sedated. Sometimes it decreases your sex drive, or you have a little bit of a harder time having an orgasm.
I'm not sure that he's worried about
orgasm.
That.
Orgasm? Are
yeah.
you kidding? In my position?
Yeah, with,
yeah,
mom, with mom and dad
around. I was going to say, look.
He's having
I
a
imagine,
hard enough time as it
I
is.
I imagine he's not in the living room peeling one off.
This may not apply to you, but you just should know just in case.
Don't say nobody warned you.
It's hard to get chicks back in the house, isn't
I'm there,
there
for you, John?
Yeah.
Hey, John, you're doing really God's work there, man, taking care of those parents. Good for you.
Thanks.
I mean, how old are they?
78 and 74. And they got one just had a major heart attack, and the other one has Alzheimer's.
Oh, Jesus. Well, they really need you there, dude, and thank God you're there for them. And, call us again, buddy.
Thanks a lot.
All right, there he goes. Jesus Christ, that's got to be a tough chore, man.
That's
Jesus
hard, man. I used to have to do, during residency training, I did neurobehavior examinations, and that's when you get somebody who has Alzheimer's or some, you know, an aging problem or some kind of neurological problem. And I had to do these neurobehavior exams, which are like 12 pages long, and they test all these different parts of the brain. So like one of them is the shopping list. And so you have to go, and you're talking to this poor, sweet guy who's like 80 and has Alzheimer's, and you're like, okay, sir, Mr. Smith, so today we're going to go over the shopping list. Now, what we're buying at the store is apples, oranges, milk, and you like lay down all these 10 things.
Right.
And then you have to wait for him to repeat it.
Oh.
Right? So, okay, apples.
And he just sit there.
And he's just sitting there. And right when you're about to like just cross it off, he goes, apples.
Oh, geez.
And
oh,
you no. have to go through that neurobehavior exam took like 8 hours, like
oh,
per
man.
Patient. It was you to do that work. I really respect what John does because that
work is a lot
is
of work.
Tough.
Instead of giving you the shopping list, does he tell you what he wore to his fifth birthday party in 1942?
Yeah, sometimes.
Do they have like an old
polyester suit?
Yeah.
You know, he may have a connection.
But I heard there's doing some pretty good work with magnets when it comes to Alzheimer's. Is that true out of Great Britain?
No, I've heard that. I don't see any... I look at it as to where the research is coming from. Is it
right.
coming from the British Journal of Psychiatry, or is it coming from, like, your local newsstand?
Yeah, Beatles,
you know, I mean?
Fan group.
Yeah, so people have tried magnets for all sorts of stuff, but there hasn't been a really, really good research study saying, oh, yeah, for depression, just try magnets.
Do magnets work for anything? Or like copper bracelet or anything? Like voodoo science?
I don't buy that stuff. Magnets are good for magnetic resonance imaging and
that's
things
it.
Like that. But if
it's all voodoo science.
Yeah, voodoo science.
But what about, like, aren't magnets used for, like, or I don't know if this is something different, but like the electroshock therapy, that sort of thing? Is that something totally different?
Yeah, that's different, but it's a good thing to bring up. ECT, electroconvulsive shock therapy, is, you know, in the old movies, or even movies now that want to talk about the olden days,
right.
you see somebody freaking convulsing all over the place with the shock. Now it's like they've set it up so there's just a little movement on your finger. That's
wow.
all that there is, or on your toe. That's all that there is. And
but is there still a stigma at Hollywood parties?
At Hollywood parties on electroconvulsive shock therapy?
Well, I mean, you know, you're at a party and you met a chick and you're like, hey, what are you doing tomorrow? You go, I'd love to meet you for lunch, but I got shock therapy.
EST, yeah.
Yeah, there's
ECT.
Definitely. And I don't expect to be like, dude, I just got ECT. What's going on with my body right now? Like, I don't expect to be seeing that at the Hollywood parties either.
Don't they say that can cure or at least help with depression?
I got to tell you, I've seen it in action, and it is absolutely impressive.
Unbelievable.
What does it help
really
with depression?
Impressive.
What else?
I've seen it work for schizophrenia, for schizoaffective disorder, for depression, for just a lot of stuff. It's like a computer, and it's like you turn the computer on and off. You're like resetting it.
Defragging it.
It's somehow the electrical current, and you know the way our neurons connect is through chemical means and through electrical means, and somehow it resets things so that you're not. It doesn't work for everybody, but when it does work, it's really dramatic.
Yeah, Randy, you should try that out. Although you're a big guy, I think you would have to run into like a an electric station.
I need to get struck by lightning.
With just a wetsuit on.
Or jeans and no shirt.
Jesus. All right, Dr. Reef is with us. What is your website there, Dr. Reef?
It's drreef.com.
R-E-E-F.
Yeah, doctor, okay. Spell that.
All right, doctor, spell it. drreef.com. And again, sex, drugs, and relationships. This is your guy. Gina Grad's with us, Dr. Reef. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show. More of your phone calls when we come back. And we're live on 97.1 FM Talk.
Feeling down and dirty, feeling kind of mean. I've been from one to another extreme.
Welcome back, everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live at 97.1 FM Talk. Gina Grad is with us. Dr. Reef, DrReef.com. He's a specialist in sex, drugs, and relationships. And Sandy in Beaumont, you're on with Dr. Reef. How are you, ma'am?
Hi, good. How are you?
Hey, doing excellent. What do you got?
Good. Well, I've been with my husband since I was 19. And I used to smoke pot like that. And I knew he was a daily user. But then he got into meth. So we broke up for like a year and a half. And then I thought he cleaned himself up. And then we got back together. And like he still smokes pot. And I'm 36 now. And I just tell him that, you know, I love him so much and everything. But I don't know what to do. And we have three kids. And
is he working?
Yeah. And then he's incoherent when, like, you know, when he's driving and stuff. I heard, like, driving on pot is, like, worse than drinking and driving and texting and all that.
It's true.
So,
Hold on, baby. You're killing a lot of people here. Driving on weed is worse than drinking and driving?
Driving on weed can change your coordination. The pot can actually change your coordination as much as drinking alcohol.
Yeah, but you never hear like people slamming into cars because they were, you know, had too much weed.
Well, it's usually like a delayed reaction time. That's usually what you're going to get. You're right, though. You're going to hear a lot more publicity-wise right. about alcohol than you are pot. But you definitely, your coordination is not the same. It's just not.
Right. And, aren't these cars, I mean, I know mothers are dead against drunk drivers. They're going to kill me on this. But aren't these cars designed nowadays where people can enjoy themselves a little more behind the wheel? With the airbags.
You want to go there on that one?
I'm not checking
that. You
want
to take that one?
It's a joke. Mothers Against Drunk Driving. Please don't email me. Please. I think you're a great organization. Don't email me.
But think about this. If clubs and bars had just like free pot or just had like the bar was a pot bar.
Right.
And I know Randy's getting excited, so I don't want to, you know. Yeah. But let's say instead of alcohol, it was all pot. And everybody was smoking up all over the place and then getting in their cars and driving home. You'd see a lot more accidents from pot. The reality right. is people go and they drink. And alcohol is a social lubricant. I mean, half my friends got married because they were hammered when they met each other. It's like people are just drinking everywhere.
Right.
So you're going to see a lot more alcohol-related car accidents than you are pot.
Yeah, but I think more people smoke pot than drink and drive nowadays. I think there are a lot more people that smoke and drive.
But I think that when most people smoke pot, they're in for the night. You know, there's not like, woo, let's go out, let's get drunk and crazy. They're just chilling at home.
I don't know. I know a lot of people that smoke pot before they go to movies. I mean, who the Christ goes to a movie sober anymore?
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to sit there for an hour and a half and watch, W sober? What are you going to watch sober? Yeah, Religious? Hey, I was totally sober. Watch Religious. Oh, how'd you like it?
Eh.
Who the Christ does that? I mean, who goes to a movie sober and sits through that?
Depends on the
Jesus
mood.
Jesus Christ. All right, Sandy, so what do you think here? You think your husband's addicted to weed?
We have a 15-year-old, and she smelt it in the garage because he smoked it in the garage. And I tell him, you know, you can't do it here. You have to go somewhere because we have a 3- and 4-year-old also. And, you know, I wanted to live a long life. I mean, I wanted to get lung cancer and all that crap. And then, like, his brain, you know, like, kill his brain cells or whatever, and memory, you know what I mean?
Yeah, sweetheart, do you know what also is killing him at home?
You know, you're kidding me. Yeah, whatever.
You're nagging and you're complaining about what he's doing is destroying his life.
What about the kids, dude? How old is your oldest daughter? I quit when I was born.
You're an angel. You're God. You're Jesus. You're the best. How old's your oldest daughter?
She's
15. She's
15. Yeah.
She knows what pot is, baby.
I know, but it's bad, dude.
Hold on 1 second. You know, I hate when somebody gets, I hate when they give pot a bad rap, like, and they start blaming other thing, like, I want to be around forever for the kids. I want longevity. I want this. I want that. I think her nagging is going to kill him before the pot does.
Yeah, I mean, it comes down to, like, if they came into my office, the first thing I would say is...
Divorce.
I would say what's the functional problem that he has on the pot? That'd be the first thing.
Let's ask her here. Sandy, what's the functional problem?
He acts stupid, and then, he just sits there in front of the stupid TV, like, the kids could be getting into something, and then he's, like, sitting there, like, I'm like, hello, you know, you need...
So he basically, he smokes and he turns into a zombie.
Exactly. And then I don't want him to be like that on the road, and then he gets popped, he gets pulled over and gets popped for it, and then that drug is...
I can't take that. I mean, whoever lives with, you know, that every day, I would be
taking... Having flashbacks or something? What's going on right now?
I would be taking cocaine from every orifice of my body.
Well.
I'd be doing it orally, through my tuchus. I'd be doing it in my eyes, my nose, and my ears if I had to deal with that every day. If I came home at 11:30 every night and that was behind the door... I would shoot myself.
You know what's interesting is a lot of people smoke pot because it helps with anxiety.
Yeah.
And it helps to tune out things.
But so do you think
but
it's
isn't
a,
she bringing on the anxiety?
That's my point.
Catch 22.
I don't know. I don't know when he started. I don't know when they got married. I don't know. But they definitely could use some help. They could, you know, yeah. She go see somebody.
Hey, go see you. Hey, Sandy, go see Dr. Reef, will you?
Can you keep me on the phone? Because I'm in Palm Springs now and I can't.
We can do that for her.
All right, hold on 1 sec. Randy, can you give her Dr. Reese's home phone number? No, the email address?
Hey, Tim.
Yeah. Or at least the web address. But, you know, I'm really tired of listening to the guys always getting the bad rap, you know, because he's smoking weed. You know, it's like when a guy goes out and he cheats on his wife and the wife blames him 100%. Like, you know, if somebody's cheating on you, it's because they're not getting something that they want.
Well, the affair is usually the byproduct of a much bigger problem. The affair is not usually the problem. The problem is something else, and it led to the affair.
Right.
And if I might be so bold and to say this when it comes to drugs and relationships, I had a friend who was absolutely enraged at her boyfriend for doing coke and doing drugs, and she was going nuts about it, and finally it came out that she was so angry and so hurt and so upset because he wasn't doing them with her.
Wow.
So it could be a bunch of things.
Man.
I'm not accusing Sandy of that. Obviously, she's trying to clean things up and everything. I'm just saying that, you know, sometimes it's something else.
I'll bet you anything that Sandy's husband has a great relationship with those three kids. And that she envies that relationship that he has with those kids. And she's going ballistic, you know, because she doesn't have it with those kids.
Well, it takes two.
Because, you know what? She's a nagging, and Sandy, if you're still listening, I'm sorry, baby. But she's a nagging bitch. And that kind of thing will drive you to more than just weed. She's lucky that he's not growing it in the living room or under the kid's bed. You know, he's lucky that, you know, that he doesn't have a pillowcase filled with cocaine and just taking it, you know,
putting his head in a hefty bag.
Scoop. Yeah. To deal with that every night. I'm sure if you ask the guy, this is the kind of guy who, when he drives home, he sits in the yard or in his driveway, drinks a fifth of vodka and has a joint so he can go deal with that.
I wonder what he's doing right now.
Oh, I bet you he's getting high right now. If he's listening to the show right now, he's probably thinking to himself, I've got to smoke more weed. Conway's on my side.
And we did a show one night about people who have to take the edge off before they go inside. And I don't think we've ever had so many calls from people calling from their own driveways.
Oh, yeah.
Saying, I just can't go in yet. I can't do it.
Yeah, I got to have a fifth of vodka and a joint to get inside there. You know, because I know there's a dragon behind that door. All right, Dr. Reef is with us. Also, a Gina grad. Questions for Dr. Reef, 520-9710 and 888-520-9710. You can go to his website as well. Dr. D-O-C-T-O-R. For you that went to the LAUSD, and Reef, REEF.com, drreef.com. And we'll spend another hour together.
Let's
do it. Look at that. We're live on 97.1 FM Talk.